Just a reminder, our podcast deals with crimes that are often violent and graphic in nature, so listener discretion is advised. So when in doubt, leave the kids out. Now, please let us take you back in time.
Hello, old-time crime gal fans, listeners, friends. I'm here with my friend,
Shannon.
It's Melissa. And this week, Shannon's going to tell us a story.
Bear with me. And please give us your feedback if you don't want me to ever talk again.
And I don't know who it is just by the name of it. So I'm excited.
Yeah, this is, you know, the first time. It's not the first time I've surprised or come up with a story. Okay, well.
No, in fact, the very first episode was your story that started this whole thing.
But you knew about it. You knew the story, didn't you?
No, not until you told me about it.
Okay. Well, let's see if this goes just as well. This is a story back in the 1800s. So I kind of like.
Okay, old ones. Well, that's how we got started.
Old time crime. That's right. Old time crime girls. It doesn't mean that we're old, even though we're getting there. This is going to be about a marriage that lasted 14 hours.
Oh, the last one we did was the marriage that lasted 8 days.
Oh!
Christina Kettlewell.
Yes.
So this is 14 hours.
Oh, yeah, okay. The Kettlewell. That was So I kind of like that name. Oh, yeah, that was with the
because we were going to do kettle horn and call it Kettlewell. Yes.
Then after the husband was smiling after.
Signing autographs.
Yes, I signed an autograph. I didn't like that. So a marriage that lasted 14 hours. The bride was Laura Cutler. And then the groom was George Gould. And I'm assuming that's Gould. It's G-O-U-L-D.
Gould.
Yes, I think so. So and it was in September the 4th of 1889. It was said they were married at a local minister's home at about 9 p.m.
That's kind of late.
Yeah, I was double read.
Because even if you have an evening wedding, you want people to eat. So you're like 6, 7.
Yeah, I double read that to make sure. But I don't really know that they had anybody there. When I get deeper into the story, it's kind of odd anyway. So they were married there about 9, and then it ended by 11 a.m. the next day. So kind of
But
fast.
You said there wasn't anybody there. Oh, no, but the I'm marriage ended. Gotcha.
At the wedding, okay. Probably.
I'm with you.
You know, it might have just
I'm thinking,
been
man, they had a long reception. They partied all my life.
Throughout the story, it didn't say anything about her having friends. So they just, it might have been the minister and them.
How old were they?
So,
we're
going to get to how old they were. Yes, the air just came on where we're sitting, and it's kind of scary when it comes on and startles
those who are not used to it. I've never heard it before.
Yes, yeah. It startles those who aren't used to it. So, I guess I was used to it because I didn't jump.
No, but I did.
But, yeah, it was kind of a fast. You could call it a shotgun wedding, but later you'll find out a shotgun is significant in more ways than one. But I guess that would be, the shotgun wedding is if they're.
If they're pregnant before they have a baby.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Never mind. This is a different kind of shotgun.
So let me guess. A shotgun was used at some point.
Yes, it was. So Laura Cutler lived and was raised on a farm in East Montpelier, Vermont. She was the only child of William and Fanny Cutler. And the Cutler family hired a man named James Sherman Caswell that was a helper on the farm. He had been a soldier. Fought in the Union Army during the Civil War. So he was kind of, he came in when she was in her mid-teens, so he was considered part of the family.
Oh, like uncle, whatever.
Didn't turn out to be like the uncle.
Okay, well.
Yeah, so it's, but
good. He'd been around for a while.
Yeah, I mean, she was in the mid-teens, her mid-teens when he came. Hmm. So they needed help on the farm and throughout reading the story, they must have been really rural, even though they had community around them. So his name was Sherman, but the nickname was Sherm. So they would call him Sherm.
Sherm.
And like I said, Laura was, I guess, Sherm for, hey, Sherm, come here. Yes. I know when you say it too many times, it doesn't sound quite. Yeah. So Laura was in her mid-teens when Sherm came to the farm. So even though not the uncle scenario, you might have an idea where this might be going.
I got you. Now.
Okay. So Sherm was 8 years older than Laura. So she's kind of, let's say, mid-teens, maybe 16, 17, and then he's 8 years older. So what's that, like 20?
22.
Yeah, 21. Something like that. We're not math. That's why we're not doing a calculus program. So he...
Too old to be trying to hang around me.
Remember, it's
different times.
Yes, my grandmother got married at 15.
Yeah, there's a big age difference between grandparents.
Yeah, and my grandmother was more mature, had grown up with a lot of, living on the farm during the Depression, so... lot of maturity there, even though this was way before the Depression. This was before a lot of things.
Before TikTok.
Yeah, I couldn't. I don't know. I was glad I'm born when I was born.
Don't get me started.
I do like old things, though.
Yes.
Old TikTok, not a fan of. But so anyway, he was 8 years older than her. And I, since it's an old story, I like to use the words that Sherm took a shine, or he was fancy on Laura. He fancied her. And so Laura appeared, she kind of shared the same feelings. There again, though, she was young. So Sherm and Caswell asked for Laura's dad to give Laura to him in marriage. So he asked for her hand in marriage. These are old terms.
I know that no one does that anymore.
My husband did. I like that. I think it's really honorable. So he asked for her hand in marriage, but Laura's dad said no, that he couldn't. All right, so you've got this farmhand, is what I'll call him, lived there with the family and was part of like everyday life with the family. He liked Laura. She liked him. And she said no. And then the dad said that Laura was too young to get married. And Sherm was also known to drink heavily, I think.
Yeah.
And his dad and the dad, Laura's dad, said he didn't think he had, you know, he lacked the drive to better himself.
Okay.
So no ambition. Laura later said that her dad never wanted her to marry. She just thought, he just never wants me to get married. That's the problem. But there again, she's a teenager.
Yeah, and I don't see the big picture.
And she was an only child, so, you know, she might have been a different teenager than some. Well, Laura's dad died in 1884, and so evidently Laura changed her mind about marriage, because after her father died, she still would not marry Sherm. Okay, so Laura...
Well, he's the one who said no, so if he died, it should have been like, oh, I can marry you now!
Exactly. So he still, she couldn't get married because she didn't, or she didn't want to get married. And Sherm, of course, didn't, you know, that didn't make him happy, I'm sure. So then her mother died 4 years after her dad.
Oh,
and so that left Laura and Sherman in the house together, unmarried. And so, you know, the 1800s, late 1800s, that wasn't appropriate for them to live in the same house and share the property. So Laura thought that wasn't appropriate. So they had a lady come and live with them inside the house. And her name was Phoebe Perry. She was 84 years old. I want to know how old her parents were.
I
guess that lady is going to...
We don't want to look bad, so come here and sit with us.
Like babysitter.
Like in the middle of us at dinner, this 84-year-old, to make sure nothing funny is going on.
See, Laura... But see, she didn't want to marry him. She wanted to marry him when her dad was alive, but then she didn't want to marry him because I bet when her dad passed, she probably just didn't really like it. And she thought, okay, well, I'm never... You know, she probably just gave in.
Yeah, I'm surprised he stayed on the farm and worked after that. That would have been, like, humiliating.
But I don't think, there again, is that he didn't think he had any drive to do anything.
So he's probably
he drank. You know, he's got a free place to live, everything. So, so anyway, so Sherm was getting a little bit older, and he needed help on the farm. So now he got Sherman, Laura, and Miss Phoebe Perry, who's 84, living in the same house. Well, Sherm.
They need to hire somebody else.
Yes. Well, I guess the 84-year-old couldn't do a whole lot. So he needed help. And he had actually suffered an injury when he was in the Civil War. He had gotten shot in his leg. So he was at the Battle of Gettysburg.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's really cool. So he got shot in his leg and suffered an injury. So as he aged, I'm assuming he wasn't real old. He was younger than I am now. But I guess with a war injury... And then hard labor work, you know, his body was kind of wearing out. So he wanted some help with his farm duties. So then that's when Mr. George Gould was hired to help out. George was 2 years younger than Laura.
Ah.
All right. So that is now the hired hand who's 35. I did some math. Laura is 37. And Sherman, being 8 years older, is 45.
Okay.
All right. So we see kind of the picture forming here.
Mature adults here.
And we already know she married George. So we got to find out the details. Let's talk about George's appearance. He was 5'6". He wore short hair, parted in the middle. He had a long mustache. And I'm doing finger, like, curled up slightly at the ends, brought to points on the ends. They call them, like, the little wicks to the end of each one. But... George, he didn't just come around for being a farmhand, which, I'm thinking, I guess that was handsome during that time period. That was like 1890s handsome, maybe. So George seemed to find reasons to visit the farm when he wasn't working. What was the attraction? I would say it was probably Laura.
Laura. Yeah.
So it took about a year, and George was able to persuade Laura to marry him. So the date was set for September.
Huh.
All right. But
so Sherm must be feeling pretty bad that he's had to live there for years trying to work for Laura. And this guy comes up in less than a year and is like, we're getting married.
Right. So he was not happy. And he said that Laura couldn't marry another man. She had no right to do it because they had lived together for over 20 years. So
was common law a thing back then?
I don't know. I didn't research that, but that, I don't know. Maybe he thought it was.
And he'd be like, half this farm is mine.
Then Laura, in quotes, says, "Sherm, were we ever married?" She remembers asking him. And then another quote, "Have I got to get a divorce from you before I can marry anyone else?" End quote.
Question mark. She's snappy. She's spicy.
Yeah. She's like, I'm not married.
Did
to
I
you.
Marry you?
Yeah.
Did I do that?
I don't have to do anything like that. So we're just like modernizing those terms. So then when Sherm was like, he drank a lot. So I guess when he wasn't drinking, he would try to argue and, you know, he would tell her that his pension that came from the army would take care of all their money problems and their debt. But if she married George, he didn't have any money. So they would lose the farm. But then Sherman got drunk.
Wouldn't his pension money all go to alcohol anyway?
I mean, it's going
like who's paying? Who's paying for all the alcohol?
Exactly. Yeah. Something like that's happening. Unless they grow corn on the farm and he makes his own. I don't know.
The back moonshine.
Yeah. So, anyway, but when he was drunk and had been drinking intoxicated, he would make threats with her and just like talk, not being kind, and he would cuss. So he said if she married George, he would kill the man. But she thought, he's just intoxicated.
Yeah, he doesn't mean this.
No, he doesn't mean any of that. So,
which ironically, a lot of the stuff drunks talk about is their true feelings, somewhat.
Yeah, I think so. But they.
Because they can't hide.
Yeah, I mean, when you're intoxicated. That's true. They're either.
I mean,
really
some
happy,
people are like really happy,
and then
some
people aren't. But I guess it depends on
but
the
person. But if you hear it enough, and if it's the same rambles, and they're, I mean, it's pretty much probably that's what they really think.
Yeah, it is. Sometimes you just wonder, will they ever do it if they actually, do they have the guts to do it? But we're seeing a lot of mental health in this day and time that, you know, it's sad. And they really need God. And so it is sad. Mm-hmm. But he was one who said that if she married him, he would kill the man. Like I said, you know, yeah. She thought it was just because he was intoxicated. So on her wedding day, she had breakfast with Sherman, which I think is like, I guess they probably had breakfast.
Well, I mean, they're probably
together.
In the same house.
Yeah.
And
Perry.
Yeah, I was like, Phoebe, right?
Phoebe. I wonder if she prepared
She might have
breakfast.
Cooked them breakfast and sat in the middle.
Yeah.
Don't you two fight now. It's her wedding day.
That's right. So they sat down for breakfast. And he, in quotes, said, "Well, Laura, this is probably the last meal we shall eat together."
You think?
And then she says, "Yes, I presume it is. I am going away today." And this was in quotes. So the next day.
So proper.
"Yes, I presume it is, as I am going away today." I know. We don't talk like that anymore. Do you ever watch any of the old TV shows? They're just so prim and proper. I kind of like it, though, because we just sound kind of
so,
crazy.
So Brayden, who's my son, he's hilarious. And I'll tell the story. He's learning like to speak boldly or soft spoken, or the difference between the two. And he was joking with me, and he got loud, and I scoffed at him, and I was like, "Oh, how dare you speak so boldly?" And he thought it was the funniest thing ever. So now he does that. Uh-huh. He did it today. He's like, "Everyone, attention! I have a joke to tell you." And he like, "Oh," so scoffs and does his little line. And he's so dramatic, and I was like, "Really? Don't be dramatic. Like, no one says that anymore."
But I know, anyway. But it is kind of nice to hear proper talk. I think. I don't know. I like that. I love that. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, her son is a trip.
I'll play a video later.
He is a lot of fun. So the next day, Laura returns to the farm. And she's got her new husband on her arm. And guess what time it is? It's around 11 o'clock.
That's where everything went down.
Yep. Let's see what happens next.
Alrighty.
So.
All right. So tell me what happens.
Okay. So So they came, you know, she came home. She returns with her new husband and then Miss Phoebe Perry. And there was a teenage girl from the neighboring farm who'd stayed the night to look after Miss Perry.
Oh, because she left to go get married. Somebody had to hang out with the old lady.
I guess Sherman couldn't do it because then it was a male in the house of the 84-year-old
lady.
Plus,
he was probably drunk.
Yes, he was. He'd been full of drinking. So she was in the house and the girl was over there. So Sherman was upstairs, according to Miss Perry, and said that he had been drinking heavily. And George decided to stay around the farmhouse to make sure there was no trouble. I'm a little confused as to why, but he was prepared. He brought a revolver with him for the day. So this is
weird. Maybe Laura had told him, like, hey, he told me if I marry you, he's going to kill you.
That's right, yes.
So he might be, like, just taking precautions in case he...
But I guess he had to stay around the farmhouse just to... I mean, how are you going to go get married then the next day? Where are you going to go? Where's he going? I guess by then everybody had to work hard. You could go on a honeymoon, so... I don't know. But yeah, so then Laura she changed her clothes. She got out the good clothes and put on the clothes to help prepare her the dinner. So I guess she was the one that prepared the dinner. So that answers that question. That's like me. I get out of my clothes and get in my pajamas, but I'm not preparing dinner. I want to go to sleep. So George ends up taking off his clothes and his coat and he switches to
make sure he got dressed again.
Yeah.
Taking off his clothes.
I mean, he
Sherman's upstairs now.
He got his coat off.
Gotcha.
Yes, coat off. And he had a formal hat on, so he changed to a work hat.
So it's like wearing a top hat. And he's wearing like a top hat.
I mean, it's just such a culture. It's not, I don't know. I think it's fun to learn about the culture of that.
I still want to throw a theme party, but yeah.
Yeah, that would be fun. I think that would be a fun thing. So then he was going out to the woodshed, and he was going to get wood for the stove, and that way she could cook. But he never made it back.
Oh, no.
I know. So, let's find out. Remember, Sherman's upstairs, drunk. He's had a lot to drink.
Yeah, he's hungover.
Yes, a lot of spirits. So, moments later, the women heard the tremendous blast of this gun. Then there were terrible screams. Okay? So, bam, the gun. And then Laura, looked up the steps to their house, so inside, and saw Sherman, and he was standing at the top of the steps, but he didn't have a gun in his hand. He didn't have anything in there. Quote, "Why have you shot George?" is what Laura said. All right, then Sherm, he doesn't reply or say anything to her. She steps out the door and sees blood, and there's blood everywhere, and then the kindling, which is the wood that he went to prepare for the stove,
right,
is all on the ground everywhere.
Because he dropped it as he got shot.
And so then she goes running to a neighbor. Sherm came on down steps. And then Phoebe, who is the older lady, she says, and I quote, "I am so sorry you have shot George." End of quote.
I am so sorry you have shot George?
Yes. I mean, who knows how she said it. How do you say that? I am so sorry that you shot George. I don't know.
That's just an odd thing to say.
Yes, I am so sorry.
Well, you like, shot I George. Declare, like, why have you shot George? Or I am so sorry you've shot George.
Yes, very weird.
Yes,
then weird. Sherman replies, quote, "So am I." So but he's drunk and he probably, who knows, it could have been accidental. But George,
I don't think you accidentally shoot somebody.
Yeah, maybe he was.
Like
I
that.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. But
it's not like I'm cleaning my gun.
Well, he already said he was going to kill him.
Said he was going to kill him.
Premeditated. He had the gun. So there we go.
I'm so sorry you shot George.
So George.
Bless George.
Was alive still. He was about to come into the house. And Sherm leaned out the window in the upstairs. So I'm just envisioning. And there's a picture of the house on the website.
Okay.
So you can post that. I'm just envisioning him leaning out this upstairs window. And the window is probably open because it was September. So, yeah, even though it's in Vermont, I don't know what the weather was like. But anyway.
Probably beautiful. Isn't it like so, fall up there with all the leaves and stuff?
And he takes a shotgun, reference to the shotgun earlier,
yep,
and he fires it at George. It had been loaded with birdshot. But because birdshot has to disperse, it didn't have time to disperse because George was at close range. So the shot didn't have time to spread, and so it struck George. And it says he was only about 8 feet away from him. But if he was upstairs in the window, I would think.
Maybe it was, like, the first floor window, and it was, like, coming up to the porch?
Well, and he could have been leaning out of it, and if it's about eight, I don't know. So it says it was about 8 feet away. But this shot struck George on the left cheek. So it tore some of his teeth away, and his upper lip, his chin, his nose.
But not fatal, right?
Well, I mean, he didn't die. He was still alive.
Yeah.
So, but he did.
Well, I mean, he's going to.
But it wasn't immediate, right? Yeah. It wasn't immediate, right? So it broke his jaw, but it pierced the right side of his chest.
Okay.
Yeah, smashed 3 ribs. Tore holes in his lung and his liver.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. So
it was fatal, but unfortunately, it took him a while. So then it talks about the trial and wouldn't be held for months. And Sherman Laura agreed to interviews with, I guess, I don't know, Argus and Patriot. I don't know if they're like newspapers of the day. Just after the murder, they gave interviews. People always trip me out how they give interviews right away. And Sherman said he was distraught because Laura left on her wedding day. I don't know what he thought she was going to do. I'm getting married, but I'm not going to leave. So I don't know why.
She came back the next day.
He thought.
To prepare dinner.
Yeah, I know. So strange. So anyway, he thought about taking his own life, but he said the details were a blur. So he didn't even remember lifting the shotgun to fire it. So that's
I mean, like crime of passion, red haze kind of thing, maybe, possibly, I don't know.
Yeah.
But he said he was going to do it.
But he was sure of some things. He said he hadn't loaded the gun to shoot George, but he had loaded it 10 days earlier when he said his dog was out hunting and had, you know, run a squirrel up a tree, but he didn't end up firing.
So he just in the moment knew it was loaded.
Right.
And but he also decided.
But here's the thing. He told her he was going to kill him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have to go back to what he said, because he said what he said.
Whether he could say he was drunk.
Well, yeah. Then, oh, well, he still killed him. So.
Oh, Sherm.
And, of course, Sherman was upset because he said, I've been engaged to Laura for years.
Engaged to Laura for years. Yes. She said no.
Right. And he said they just never got around to getting married. He even bought her a dress. So things are getting weird. So this is like the after story, because it continues.
So have you heard of, and I do not quote me, I do not know the technical term, but there is a disorder, and it's very rare, but there's been some true crime stories about it where you are completely delusional and believe someone is in love with you, and you've had entire relationships and even shared experiences that have just never happened before.
I can believe it. I mean, I'm just...
Let me know, people are crazy.
Yeah.
But like, we've been engaged for years, and like the stress, and like you didn't leave. Like, I don't know.
Borderline
obsession.
Well, because he says she was as much my wife as she can be of any man, and has been for 20 years. Quote. So I mean, he might have had what you're talking about, and I can see that happening.
Oh, what's this about the $10?
Okay, so he said he bought her a dress, Laura. They said she was very composed and she saw things differently. So she explained the matter of their marrying. They had no intimate relation. He escorted her on occasions, I guess, when they would go out for social things in the neighborhood. And so Sherman had given her like $10 on her last birthday. And so
we're 1800 something. So how much money is that today?
That's
probably like a couple $100.
Yeah, that was a lot of money. That's true. $10 is
like I gave you $10. Yes, a lot.
I mean, I worked hard for that. I got shot while I was a soldier, and it comes in every
that's
month.
Part of my pension.
I didn't use it.
Think how much alcohol I could buy.
With this money. So yeah, he gave her $10, and shortly after that, she bought the dress, but it hadn't been a wedding dress. So I mean, you said sounds maybe that could be possibly.
Man,
he really thought that she was his. And remember, she did want to marry him at one point. So you know, he got hooked. So the trial was in March of 1890, and Laura had a testimony, and it says that people in attendance were just kind of shocked at her testimony. From the latter part of the year of 1867, they asked her if it was true if she had relations with Sherman Caswell, as those of like being his wife.
Yeah.
I guess this was that was a cool way to ask of it as a wife toward the husband. So Caswell, which is Sherman's lawyer, asked that. Laura said yes. So see, I told
dun,
you.
Dun, dun.
Yes. She, I think,
that poor man.
I think she probably manipulated
him. Yeah.
For her, you know, but we don't know, because later that may change again, so we'll get to that. And everybody was just really surprised that she had said that, because she said, we had nothing like a marriage. We never had any kind of relationship. We would just go to social outings. But then
you're under the oath and like, yes.
Yes, but I think she continued to not care about being under oath as we continue.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, it says George hadn't fallen, that he dropped the load of kindling, grabbed his face, and he ran across the road. So this is going back to when George got shot. They were
recounting that trial.
And so he crossed over before falling in grass beside a fence. And there were three men who were working nearby, and so they saw him and came running. I always think, man, you don't have a phone, can't call 911. I mean, people really had to go through a lot back then to get help. But George, her husband, was struggling to his feet, and he didn't want their help. He just, I guess he just couldn't, probably in shock and didn't know what to do. And so he fell. And so the men said that George did speak and out of pain, and they tried to prop him up, and they, you know, helped him. I like this word. They ministered to him as much as they could. And then unfortunately he bled to death over the next half hour. So this was the recount of his dying. It says that while he was dying, Sherm went across the field to a neighboring farm and wanted a ride to Mount Pelier, where he turned himself in. So, I mean, there's just so many emotions with this, because his guilt was never in doubt. So it sounds like he
immediately was like, whoa, crap. Let me go turn myself in.
So I guess the Argus.
And when she said, I'm so sorry, you shot him, he said, me too. Off I go to the police.
Yeah. It is a pitiful life. I know. I kind of like his name. So anyway, then the Argus and Patriot were the published papers, I guess, back then in Montpelier. And had an interview with the murderer. So I guess that was when he talked. Their best hope was to get him life in prison instead of the death penalty. So they'd have to show that the crime was an act of passion and not premeditated murder, which I don't really know how it wasn't, because he said he was going to kill him.
Well, a lot of people say things they don't mean sometimes. I mean, how many times have we said we're going to be on the podcast?
Right.
Just this week.
True. Yes, that's true.
We're going to be on this podcast if this isn't done.
So, yeah. So anyway, the trial wasn't held for months. And then, of course, they did their interviews. And then he said he was distraught because Laura left him on the wedding day. And, of course, he had, thought about taking his life, but he didn't. All right. So we will come back in a minute to find out more.
There
is more information.
Oh, my word. All right. So just to recap where we're at. So right now we're at the trial.
Yes.
Sherm has shot George.
Yes.
Unsure of, blurry remembering whether he'd done it or not. Mm-hmm. And then immediately turned himself in. George ran across the field and he was dying.
Yes.
But Laura had said that
they were not a couple.
They weren't engaged.
The money he gave her was just for a dress, not a wedding dress.
But then the lawyer asked her if...
In court.
Right. If she had relations with him, and she said yes.
Yes. So she said the relations that she had of a man and a woman coming together as husband and wife.
We know what we're talking about.
They were about 2 months before she married George Gould.
It went but on George came on for a year. So there's an overlap there where she's not...
I don't know if she's telling the truth.
Yeah.
So this is
either that or she is, then George hadn't or no idea.
Well, George didn't live there.
That's right.
He would come back, but he didn't live there.
Why didn't Phoebe do her job?
At 84. I hope I'm spry as a spring chicken. We might have a president that age. Right. But she might have been asleep at night, and who knows?
I mean, it's probably easy to get around an 84-year-old.
Yeah. Maybe so. I don't know. She said, why have you killed him? So anyway.
I'm so sorry. You shot George.
But there was somebody who used to come to the farm, and he had testified that sometimes he supposed the actions that he saw of Sherman and Laura were like a married couple. But they could have just been talking and maybe fighting. Yeah. I mean, seriously. Some people can look like a married couple, just. So Sherm, during his testimony, he said he loved her for 23 years. He loved Laura 23 years and panicked, thinking that George Gould would take her away. So in his closing remarks, the attorney for Sherman Caswell likened him to a general that was in the Gettysburg who had been wounded. And so he kind of likened him to this general, Daniel Sickles. But more importantly, Sickles had famously killed his wife's lover and gotten away with it. So the jury at the trial for
Sickles. Oh, they're trying to give him something to hold on to.
Yep. So
it's just like this case, guys.
And they accepted the argument that he was temporarily insane by jealousy.
Crime of passion.
Yep. So they don't really know how that argument, if it helped. I mean, because you don't ever know, because jurors have their own personality, psychology, all that kind of stuff. But the next day, they said they would spare Caswell's life. So he was convicted of second-degree murder, and he was sentenced to life at the Vermont State Prison. But 3 weeks later, Vermonters? I'm sorry, people listening in Vermont.
People from Vermont?
They were stunned because, yeah, there is another wrinkle. So she didn't have a relationship with him. She wouldn't marry him. She wanted to when she was young, but she didn't. They were together, you know, living in the same house.
Were they together? Were they not together?
Yeah, she said she wasn't. That wasn't a wedding dress. And then now they were. So anyway, another thing happens, and Sherman finally got his wish. Laura agreed to marry
him. What?
Yep. I told you, it's a really twisted turn story.
He shot but she probably was with him the whole time, bless his poor dude's heart.
I mean, you just don't know what the love factor was, you know? I mean, it's just her life
I was not expecting that to come.
All right, so she agrees to marry him. So the couple
is in prison now.
Yes, this is so sweet. They held hands at the cell door.
Oh, they really love each other.
And at the jail. And a justice of the peace married them. In fact, his lawyer did. Yep. So his lawyer from the court trial married him, even though, yeah. So anyway, the newspapers, of course, do what they always do. They vilified Laura.
Well, okay, go ahead.
So while her husband, George, was still in the house, his bride of 24 hours
had 14 told Argus hours, right?
Yeah, it was only like 14 hours. That's right. So that's a misprint on there. So, sorry, whoever wrote this.
Not me this time.
She felt more concerned for Sherman Caswell and what would be his fate than she did sorrow for the untimely death of her husband. So she had more sorrow because she's known him.
Well, I mean, she's known him for 20-some years.
Yeah, who knows? It's just...
So did she just marry him because to make him feel better?
It's what it sounds like.
I mean, he's in prison, so she doesn't have to be there the whole time. So this is like,
she's got a relationship with him in a weird way. Yeah, it's just kind of a twisted type of thing. Oh, it gets better. We're not done yet.
Oh my gosh.
We're not.
Has someone made this a movie? Someone make this a movie.
That would be, yes. So she visited Caswell, which is Sherman, many times in the jail before the trial. That's crazy. And during the trial, she stopped at nothing to mitigate the severity of his punishment, quotes, even swearing away that which is dear to most women than life, her honor, end quote. She said the only reason she married Caswell was to atone to him for the grievous wrong that she had done in him in marrying Gould. Okay, so that's what it says.
She felt sorry for
him. So that was quotes.
Because she had ran off with the other guy.
So that was the only reason
she
married
him. Even though she was with that guy.
Yep.
Dang, Laura.
She says she would spend the rest of her life trying to win his release. But, I mean, he killed a man, so you can't do that.
Well,
okay, but it gets better.
He gets out. No,
does
he get out? Please tell me he doesn't
get out. No.
Okay. I never know now with this story.
So, yeah, it's definitely twisting and turning, and we're going around curves. And this is something the paper wrote. So there's a lot of quotes because 1800s, you know.
They didn't have TV. They have to, like...
Yeah.
Want to know what people said.
So it says that Caswell were to die in prison. The paper wrote, quote, his last thought will be of the wife who married him under circumstances which were never known to surround a marriage before, end quote.
I'm sure that's happened somewhere before.
Oh, yeah. All right, so things didn't turn out quite like that. A year and a half after Sherman's conviction, Laura sued for divorce.
He wasn't spending enough time with me. He was in prison.
I'm still like...
On what grounds?
I've read this story so many times because I've been wanting to do it. I'm still confused.
On what grounds does she have
okay,
to
well,
sue?
She wanted a divorce because her new husband... This tells us everything.
Oh, she's already got married again.
No. Talking about Sherman.
Oh, okay.
Which Sherman had failed to share his pension with her. So his money, as he said he promised.
Yeah.
So that's why she married him. And her lawyer said she was entitled to a divorce because her husband was civilly dead.
He wasn't around. He was in prison.
So evidently, a law in Vermont, people were entitled to a divorce if their spouse was sentenced to more than 7 years in prison. Man, I know a lot of people that would. So, yeah. So she wanted a divorce. And then
for money.
Yep. And so as newspapers and news media, because nothing changes. I mean, really, people just like to sensationalize things. It's sad. We live in sad times. But they said that Sherman was refusing to support his wife because she was keeping company with another man named Gould. So not George
same
Gould.
Last name,
same
but
last
not...
name, Gould. Yes.
Okay.
So,
no
oh, it was a, rel- no, a relative of her murdered husband.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's
like
why.
Was it his brother? It doesn't say.
I don't think it says, no. I don't think I read that. But sound like your questions. You have questions like I have. But Caswell was refusing to support his wife because she wanted to be with another man. I mean, this Sherman. I mean, I'll tell you. Sherman, man. Yeah.
I'm starting to feel for Sherman.
But they rejected.
All that mess, and he goes to prison, then he finally marries the girl, and she wants to divorce him, and then he's with her. His brother got her, his cousin, or whoever it was.
Yes. So, obviously in a rural area, which is all across the United States and other countries. So, they rejected her suit because it said, you know, Caswell, which is Sherman, had no right to support her. And she knew that of his civil condition at the time of the marriage. I mean, she knew he was in prison.
She married him in prison.
Yeah. So, and that, you know, that had been waived. And so he was no more civilly dead now as he was then.
Exactly.
So she appealed, of course, but they ruled against her. So in 1902, a couple of years later, some local veterans and business leaders in that area, they rallied to Sherman's side. And they said they cited his good conduct in prison and military heroics. And they petitioned successfully. So I may have answered your question wrong.
Deported him. So did
yeah.
he got out?
Yeah, they successfully, and Governor John McCullough pardoned him. Isn't that crazy? So it said that Caswell, while he was in prison, had saved his military pension.
He couldn't spend it on alcohol.
So now at the age of 59, he could retire comfortably.
Unless he drank it all.
Right. If he drinks it all, that's not good. Maybe he got sober in prison.
Maybe.
I hope so. So he moved back to the Montpelier, sorry if I'm destroying that area, and Laura was living a couple of miles away in East Montpelier. So, so, you know, I mean.
Hey, Dick, somebody make a movie. Please make this
a movie.
I would
really
watch it.
It's a twisty movie. I mean, not movie. It would story. Be a twisty movie, but story. So Sherman and Laura never lived under the same roof again.
Bless. Stay away from that woman.
She died in 1911. And so,
of course, then the papers bring it all over.
Yeah,
again.
Of course, when she dies. So, and they you know, they kind of,
Yeah, that didn't happen.
I know. So they add like grisly details about Gould's, the first Gould, George's body, kind of the way he died. And it wasn't, I mean, you know, it's just they added a story to it. But it says Laura, after the murder, she continued to live in her home where her family lived. I would hope it's paid for by then. I mean, but she hadn't been alone. For the past 2 decades, she had lived with a man named Lucius Gould, which must have been the
relative
of George. But they never married. So it says she was delicately reported as his housekeeper, though Laura had clearly long ago moved on from Sherman.
Well, I mean,
yeah. So anyway, but there was a part of him that says she could never shake. Because she couldn't secure the divorce from the man who had murdered her first
husband. That's why she never got married.
Yep, she died with the name Laura Caswell.
Because she could never divorce them because they denied it.
Yep. And it does say that the quotes in this column were drawn from the extraordinary newspaper interviews conducted Laura and Sherman the days following the murder. So that's
wow,
where those quotes come from.
That was a crazy one.
It is. And thank y'all.
I want to watch that as a movie. I really do.
Yeah. So if you're out there and you can make a movie out of it, do it. And thank you guys for letting me tell the story. Hopefully I did okay and y'all won't kick
me
to the curb.
I was surprised. No.
It was a twist and turn, like a roller coaster.
I did not see it coming that he did get the marriage. And he got out. He got out.
There is so many. And you know what?
And was able to retire.
Well, and he was only 59. That is really young. So, I mean, he was in there, I guess he was like probably 46. So, almost 14 years, maybe, I guess, after all the trial and things. But yeah, so
craziness.
So yeah, like so she would. So it makes you think psychologically, though. Like, how did this? You know, she
poor
was a mid-teenager.
Sherman. I'm sorry, I'm Team Sherman on this. Sherman on this one.
So it makes you think about what was her thoughts that as a teenager she was love struck because an older man came
plus,
on the farm.
You got to think only child. Maybe she was a little bit on the spoiled side. Learned how to manipulate dad, or and dad didn't want to give her away.
Yeah. It's definitely an interesting term, but she married him. Said she didn't have a relationship. I mean, it's
she did.
I mean, you can speculate, but that would be like the newspapers who did things, so we don't want to do that. But very interesting story. It just shows that people are the same throughout the centuries.
Since
Adam and Eve. And God is the only one that can curb these things, and we are blessed to know him. But yeah, you just have to – it's just – I don't know. It's neat to go back and hear stories.
Cause it's kind of nice to sit back and let you tell.
I know. Life has been crazy. But, you know, the thing is, we honor and value every life. Yes. And so these stories are people who their lives have taken. And poor George thought he, you know, so you just, you don't want
to. Been around for a year. He's going to get married with his little curly mustache and his top hat.
And his parted hair. I mean, it was, I just like stories, but.
I just envisioned the Psych episode where the one with the guy's the compulsive liar, and he's trying to tell the handlebars on his face, and then Sean figures out he's talking about a mustache, a curly thing mustache.
Okay.
So when you were telling me it curves out to the side, I just kept thinking we're playing that.
I'm giving hand motions so you can't see that, but yeah, so.
With the curly cues.
Yeah, it was fun, so thanks. And there again, I mean, being old, it's not, you know, people are, she never had children, he didn't have children. I mean, it's just, it is, I might be Team Sherman. I mean, definitely not Laura, but he also did murder somebody, so.
He did, but.
I know.
One of those, like, he probably thought, too. He probably was manipulated and had some things
like
going on.
About. You have to look up what that is.
I do, and there's a case that.
But birdshot can kill if you're close. So
yeah.
Be careful. He might have thought it would have spread and just kind of wound him a little bit and like give him a limp.
I didn't mean to kill him.
Yeah. So anyway,
I just can't get over that. I'm so sorry you shot George. So am I. Off to the police station. I mean, that does redeem him a little bit.
He obviously felt like he didn't try to run.
He didn't try to say he didn't do it.
That's true.
He owned up to it.
True. Yep.
Bless his heart.
Good story. Thank y'all for joining us.
Yes.
And thank you for letting me do it, Melissa.
Yeah. And you can join our Facebook group, Old Time Crime Gals, and hit us up at oldtimecrimegals@gmail.com. If you have suggestions or want to comment or tell Shannon how great she did, just leave us, rate us, share us. And just until next time, remember,
do the crime and it'll catch up with you in time.
And we'll talk about it.